section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
WWE hypes a flag match, the Wolves take on the Hardy Boys, and we discuss the WWE financial call. All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get Ryan to the news. So let's talk about the WWE financial call. How many subs are there, Aaron?
So they say that there's about 700,000 subscribers, you know, give or take a couple thousand, which is actually up from what they had originally had on there, because there are some people that had left. But they also gained a few, during those certain times. The thing I got to ask you, though, so they were saying, you know, we got 700,000. We're expecting 1 million by the end of the year. And when we had talked about the network back in February, I think it was, I got to ask, 700,000, I think I expected about 1 million at the end of the year. Do you think that they're going to hit that?
Well, there have been some people that have been speculating that by the end of the year, they could be up to 1 million. And within a few years, they would be 4 to 5 million. I believe that, but you have to get people on board with, we're not going to do pay-per-views anymore. We're going to have basically super shows / pay-per-views. I believe that this is the smartest thing that WWE could have done is sell the network, because the pay-per-view business, I believe, was eventually going to go away. Because that's a lot of money. I mean, boxing, it's like $90. You know, UFC's, I think, is $80. If I know that I can spend $120 a year on the network, I would do it. But I mean, the number, it's a number, but it's, I believe it's a fresh start. But there's a lot of people.
So do you think they can hit 1 million by the end of the year?
No, I don't think they will.
And why not?
I believe that there's some people who are going to stop subscribing after SummerSlam.
And I understand what you're saying. And you know what? I was thinking about it too. And I was like, you know what? No, I don't think they're going to hit 1 million. I think they'll probably stay about the same, because there'll be so many people that leave and then certain people will come back. But then I realized something. And you mentioned 4 to 5 million. 4 to 5 million people worldwide. That's not Americans, because there's not 4 or 5 million Americans that are going to get it. I believe they are going to hit 1 million at the end of the year. In fact, I think they're going to probably hit like 1.2 million, I'm going to say. And the reason I say that is because they're expanding to Canada and they're expanding to a lot of other countries too. And if you add it all up, what's going to end up happening then is I think that you will hit 1.2 million. I think that there'll be people that leave the network. I really feel that. I think that there's going to be 100,000 people that leave the network and don't come back. And I think that the gain in America is not going to be significant to make up for that 100,000 that leave. But you're going to have a lot of people in Canada that are going to subscribe, and you're going to have a lot of people elsewhere that will too.
But the thing with Canada is a little bit different, because you can actually watch it on through your cable or satellite system, which is a big deal. Plus their video, basically their VOD library as well. So you pay $10 a month and you can watch it on your TV, and then the stream will look great because they're actually sharing a satellite, a camera with the four networks, but that's what they're doing. So they're going to be in Canada and it's going to be HD. I doubt there's going to be hiccups, because you can't do that many hiccups when you're on a system like that.
That's the cool part. It'll be good, but that's why I think they will hit 1.2 million is what I'm going to say. I'm not saying they're going to hit 1 million. They're going to hit 1.2 million.
Do you think that them saying that they're going to have a new price point where you can spend $20 a month or $10 a month with a 6-month commitment, do you think that's smart? They actually gave that option out.
Yeah, I probably would have lowered. I would have said like, you know, $17.99 or something like that is what I would have said, because I think that there will be people out there who are like, oh, you know what? I just want to see WrestleMania, so I'll pay the $20, you know, to do that. Honestly, though, I still think if you're telling me it's $10 a month for each pay-per-view, I'm okay with that. And knowing I get these extra things in return, I'm you know, that's like, oh, it's sweetening the deal. It's the icing on the cake. That's what the extras are, and the cake itself is the pay-per-views. Honestly, I would have preferred them to have a third option that would have come out, and they say a 12-month commitment, and it's only $100.
I would have been like, I think they're going to do that.
I would have done that.
I believe that will happen because they said something about that during the conference call. I missed the part about them saying that it was going to be $20 a month, but I did hear someone say, what if you subscribe for a year? And they said that they're going to look into an option like that. Because if I spend $100 and that's all I have to spend once, because they were talking that they also wanted to do it where you'd pay the $60 on the first month. So this case, mine is like sometime in August. So August 20, whatever. I could pay either $9.95 or pay $60. I would probably just pay the $60 because then I don't have to worry about it. That's what I think they're really going for, is if someone could actually spend the money right off the bat.
Yeah.
I almost wish that they would have I was speculating, why don't we just do it so you pay $100 a year and then you get it all? And just make that for everyone. So if you want it, you pay $100 a year. Then you don't have to worry about 6-month commitments.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of people that are doing this now. I mean, not just here. Obviously, Netflix does it. You know, we have HBO Go, which is, you know, obviously part of your cable package. You know, even EA Sports is doing a thing like this, too, which is an a la carte. So, you know, I think that WWE would actually behoove themselves to get people locked in for a full year. And so I actually think that'd be a good idea. But, Andy, one of the things that was kind of interesting, of course, they did talk about the expanding markets, so going, you know, to other countries. But they also talked about the pay-per-view revenue, and they said it declined 36% since introducing the network. Now, do you have any insight onto this?
Okay, so it does take a huge hit, because I think one of the pay-per-views got under 100,000 buys, which is a big deal. But the WWE gets their money. They get the money straight up. And I believe that they're making more money because of it. Because, all right, let's say they would average 200,000 buys, right? And they would get, we'll say, $30 out of that. That's $600,000. Or I'm sorry, $6 million. When you look at it with the network, if they have 700,000 subscribers and they're paying $10 each, that's $7 million. So technically, it's not as bad as you may think. But, you know, it's just one of those things.
Now, they did lose. They had a net loss of $14.5 million for the quarter. Which is, I mean, that's you know, a pretty significant amount. But surprisingly enough, their shares went up today because it was not as bad as some analysts were predicting. So it went up 39 cents, you know, 3%. And actually, it's been up for the past, you know, since taking that big nosedive where it was at $30 a share and it went back down to a normal $10. You know, it's been going up. So do you think that the loss is just that's what it's going to be for the start? You know, I mean, you have startup costs. Do you think that the third and fourth quarter we're going to see a bounce back for that because we're going to see more people subscribing?
I think so, but I don't think you'll see more people subscribing. I think what they're going to have to do is lock down the network. I mean, when you hear people are sharing one username and password and they're using it 10 different places, you need to lock that down. Make it so you log in one or two places, and then those people, because they're doing that, they will pay for the subscription because it's $10 a month. If they can't afford it, then that's their loss.
All right. So, Andy, enough about the financial stuff. Let's move on to WWE programming this week. So I got to ask you, Orton versus Reigns. They had a squabble on Raw. And then, of course, there was a challenge thrown out on SmackDown. I got to ask you, what do you think? Do you think Orton and Reigns is actually a big moneymaker?
I guess if you have to have Reigns fight someone, Randy Orton is a safe bet right now. But he needs to face someone big at Night of Champions. If you have him versus Trips, that's definitely people will resubscribe to the network just because of that. But other than that, I just don't care about the match.
I actually think it'll be pretty good. I think that Reigns and Orton will put on a pretty decent match. The downside is I am pretty sure that Reigns will have to win no matter what, which kind of takes a little bit of the, you know, you're not suspending the disbelief out of there. Then it's like, oh, Orton's not going to win this one. You know, when actually I wouldn't mind seeing Orton win this and then, you know, maybe losing on a Raw or something like that.
Well, also remember, Reigns has lost a match and I don't believe it hurt him at all, but he did lose.
Yeah, he's lost plenty of matches, actually, which is OK. And, you know, before they do this big super push with him that they've been doing. And actually, speaking of super pushes, Rusev and Swagger is going to be a flag match. I got to ask you, flag match, we haven't seen one of these in a while. What do you think?
Well, in this case, I believe that you have to have Swagger win. There's no way around it. It's just one of those things. Because I don't know where you go from here if you have Rusev win, because then he's pretty much unstoppable. But if you have Jack Swagger putting him in the Patriot lock and he taps, things change. But I believe that then Rusev can get revenge on him for the next few weeks and basically beat the crap out of him. And then he can move on to a different program. Then maybe have Jack Swagger cost him like a championship belt or something like that.
Yeah, I kind of wonder where the outcome of this is going to be, because you have Swagger and Rusev who have a perfect character chemistry. And so I think that that works well. But where do you have Rusev go after this? Do you just shoot him straight to the top and feed him to Cena? And then what do you do with Swagger? You know, do you have Swagger actually go after a belt? You know, maybe go after the U.S. title. You know, it makes sense since he is, you know, now he's this big Patriot. You know, I don't know what they're going to do after this, but I am actually enjoying the ride. I think that the feud doesn't need to be over yet. I think that you could actually have this go one more pay-per-view. You could probably have it go to Night of Champions and then end it. It does need to go much longer than that. Actually, it's not Randy Orton Christian yet. You know, it's not where you're like, oh my God, I'm so sick of these, you know, after the first match, pretty much. I think that they could do another month of this and it would still be pretty good.
Okay. All right. So WWE is hoping that Cena versus Lesnar will actually get subscribers to stay around. Do you believe it will?
I do. I think that it will. You know, there are people who, number one, it's supposed to do two things. One, it's supposed to make people subscribe to SummerSlam for 6 months, you know, and then that way it'll help lead them to right before WrestleMania. And the other thing, too, is a lot of people's subscriptions end right after SummerSlam, which means that Night of Champions, we're probably going to see Cena Lesnar too. I mean, that's just the way it's probably going to be. I just don't see any other way. Even it doesn't matter who wins. I think that they have to have a rematch at Night of Champions. And so I think that WWE planned it that way to try to make people stay around or try to get new people in. And I actually think it's a smart move too, because I think that these two will put on a really good match. I think that they really did a bad job for having Lesnar come back and then lose to Cena when he first did, you know, 2 years ago now. I think that was a really bad move. I think it was too premature. But, you know, I think this is the opportunity for Lesnar to get revenge.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to the match. So it should be pretty good. And that's pretty much, you know what, that's weird. This is all it is for this week for the WWE. Do you find that weird?
Not really. I mean, well, we have a lot to talk about. So let's go ahead and thank our sponsors.
HostGator, are you a blogger or podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installed with the free site builder, and hands on the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out the Section 86 Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to save big on items at WWEShop.com. So let's talk about some Impact Wrestling this week. The Wolves take on the Hardys in an awesome match, something that we've been waiting for. It just stinks that the Hardys are getting up there in age.
You know, it's funny because you mentioned this last week, you know, and you're like, oh, you know, they're past their prime. It's not even gonna be a good match, you know, or it won't be as good as it could have been. And it's like, yeah, it won't be as good as it could have been, but it was still a really good match. And I think it shows that both Hardys, while they're obviously past their prime, it's not like they're Hogan, you know, it's not like, you know, I mean, if you see Hogan wrestle like within the past 10 years, he's obviously way, way past his prime. These guys are on the downturn in their career, but it's not bad. I think they put on an awesome match. I think that this actually really helped showcase the Wolves more than any match that they have been in since being in TNA, in my opinion. I think this made them bigger stars.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, like, I did like the fact that after the match, they put the belts down and they went down on one knee and extended the handshake, which is something I think they deserve to do because, yes, the Hardys, this is pretty much it for them. They may have 2 years left in them, if that. And it'll be nice to see them come back and do a quick run of the WWE, even if it's for 3 months. Just have them come out so you can hear their music and their fireworks, retirement of the Hall of Fame, and then hug it out. That's pretty much it.
You think Matt Hardy's a Hall of Famer?
I think the Hardy Boys are.
Good answer.
I think Jeff Hardy could be, and you can make that as an argument, but I don't know about Matt. That's the one thing, because it's really weird. I do believe that Edge and Christian both are. Oh, wait, Edge's aren't in. And I do believe the Dudley Boys, as the Dudley Boys, are.
Yeah, I would agree with that, too.
So, of course, by the way, the only reason I'm bringing that up is because if you watch WrestleMania Rewind on the WWE Network, you would have seen that they showcased that match.
Oh, so anyway, Andy, next week, we're going to see Samoa Joe, Lowkey, and Sonata wrestle for the vacated X Division title that Austin Aries vacated to take on Lashley this week. Now, these three people actually fought in a triple threat match, each of them. So we had 9 contenders and we whittled it down to 3. Joe, Lowkey, Sonata, all three could use the title, could help them out. And so it'll be interesting to see who actually wins. I got to ask you, I'm obviously the spoilers are out there. I don't know if you've seen them or not, but I got to ask you, if you haven't seen them, who do you think will win?
I already know who's going to win. That's the sad part.
All right.
But the thing is, here's my thing. Apparently, the X Division title is no longer a cruiserweight title or whatever you want to say. Basically, some guy who's under 225. Because they let guys who were not 225 in. So they're basically treating the X Division title now as the IC title or the US title as the stepping stone.
If you remember the X Division title, do you remember what Samoa Joe said about the X Division title?
What?
It's not about weight limits. It's about no limits.
So pretty much they turned it into an IC / US title.
In a way, it is the X Division is for X Division style wrestlers. That's what it's for. It's not for Magnus, and you know, it's not for Kurt Angle. You know, I mean, those aren't X Division guys. It's for the AJ Styles of the world, the Samoa Joes, the CM Punks, you know, Bryan Danielsons. It's for those types of wrestlers. And they did that really stupid thing where it was the 3-way dance, and then they changed. So it was, 25 and under. And it was like, no, leave the X Division as is. It was fine. You're tinkering with stuff way too much. But anyway, Andy, speaking of X Division, Austin Aries cashed in to take on Lashley. He lost. First man to do it. Obviously, it's only been going on for 3 years, but the first one to lose. It was a hard-fought victory. Do you think that this helps out Austin Aries at all? I mean, what do you think?
I guess it puts over Lashley, but then is Aries going to leave? Is he going to call it quits? Why did this happen? Usually when you do that, you win it. And granted, he has won the last few, or whoever the X Division title holder was, they have won the World Heavyweight title. But this is the first time it didn't happen. So I don't know if it makes the X Division title weaker or stronger. That's what I'm trying to figure out, because I don't think it's about the fact that he lost. I think it's about him getting rid of the title, because he could have held on to it.
Yeah, I mean, he could have. And, you know, that's one of the things, too, that, you know, if TNA is around for a while, then it'll be interesting if somebody actually says, no, this X Division title means more to me than your World Heavyweight Championship, so I'm not going to cash it in. And so I wonder if that's something that might happen if they're around in a few years. Anyway, Andy, let's bring on a special guest to talk with us about Spike TV not renewing TNA, or are they in talks?
All right, so let's bring Doug Hahn onto the show. So, Doug, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Excellent. So we need to talk about this. Is this a big deal that they haven't re-signed with them yet, or that they're not going to renew, Aaron?
So Yeah, I think that we need to talk a little bit about the backstory. Sunday night, we hear that Spike TV is not renewing TNA's contract in October. And that just put the whole wrestling world into a tizzy, pretty much. And I thought, you know what, that's kind of weird for them to announce that. So normally it's something that, you know, might go a little bit further. And so I actually, my thoughts on it are, I think they're using it as a negotiation tactic. I think that Spike TV wants TNA to be there because it's original programming. And let's be honest, they really don't have a whole lot anymore. Spike TV, for the most part, the only thing I watch on there is TNA. I don't watch anything else because there's nothing else there is worthwhile, in my opinion. And so I think they're using it as a negotiating tactic to make TNA stay around, but for a cheaper amount. Is that kind of what you're thinking, Doug, or do you have a different thought?
No, I agree. I think this is a giant ploy to see what they can do and negotiate with. one of the things that I think is in favor of TNA is the fact that Spike has nothing to fill their spot with. So if they don't have anything to fill their spot with, and everybody, all the other networks are starting to fill up their fall lineup and everything like that, then what is Spike going to do? They're going to fill it up with more reruns of CSI?
Cops? Now, here's my thinking on this. I believe that there's a couple wrestling fans at TMZ, and I believe that they wanted to put something out there real fast. This is it. The fact that I'm wondering, actually, here's my big speculation. I believe that TNA actually asked for double the rights, whatever they were getting. I think they asked to double it because that's what the WWE was trying to do. And then basically Spike was like, no, thank you, and walked away. I mean, what are you thinking, Aaron?
I think that they asked for a lot. And I think that TNA, they're not in a position to ask for a ton of money. They might be able to ask for more, you know, and say, look, you know, production costs have gone up, you know, and all this other stuff. We need a little bit more money. Or how about this? How about you freaking advertise the show on other stations? How about on MTV? How about on any other Viacom network? Hey, tune into Spike on Thursdays to see Impact Wrestling. You know, I think that there's a few things that maybe they could do to help with the ratings and help bring in a bigger audience that they are not doing. So I think that TNA went in and they probably said, look, we want more money. And it probably was maybe the wrong tactic for what they went in for.
But remember, they actually brought a negotiating company in for this. Mm-hmm. That was the weird part. But okay, let's hypothetically say that they have to move somewhere. Doug, who should they contact?
Who should they contact is a great question. You know, and just trying to look at some of the networks that are available there, I wouldn't be surprised if AMC is in the mix just because of how AMC was actively trying to even get the WWE to come to them when they were having their negotiations.
That is a good point. They could go to AMC, but because the rumor was AMC wanted to buy the WWE. That would be interesting if they decide they want to buy TNA, but are you going to buy the company and then take all the debt with you? Because they said it could be up to $45 million right now.
Oh, for them, it's nothing, though.
Yeah.
Well, still. I mean, is that worth it just to have a wrestling company? Because if a company's losing money, what are they going to do to make it so it stops losing money?
It really depends on, you know, AMC and how they want to run things. I actually think AMC is one of the best networks out there right now. They have really great original programming. You know, they have one of the best shows on just anywhere right now with The Walking Dead. I think actually adding a wrestling show would be very interesting because that's not something that you would think when you think AMC. And if they did, it probably would be ran better. It'd probably be have more compelling storylines. They probably would hire somebody who is not a Vince Russo. They'd probably hire somebody who, you know, has more of a mind for the business.
Vince Russo. We had to bring him up.
Somebody like
a
David Arquette, what I'm thinking.
Oh, you want David Arquette to win the TNA World Heavyweight Championship?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to draw the ratings, right?
Oh, my gosh. Seriously. Are you serious, bro? Now, you know, there's a couple stations out there that could do it. I mean, you know, Fox could do it as well. You could have FXX or FX or Fox Sports, you know, or FX Sports. I'm sorry. But you could potentially put it on one of those channels. But do you really want to go there? Because
is Fox going to promote the show? That's the other thing. Because as we've seen, Viacom just does not give a crap about Impact. I don't see it advertised at all. But
yeah. Well, you have other ones. What do you think, though, about Turner? Do you think Turner would ever get back into the wrestling game?
I don't know, no. Doug. What do you think?
No, I think Turner's out. I mean, he might want to get back in the wrestling business, but I don't think that he has much say anymore in what his wrestling doings, you know, with how they lost WCW and AOL. And there's been so many other mergers now with Turner being bought in or bought out. And I don't see him coming back in. He might want to, but I don't ever see him ever getting back wrestling.
Oh, gosh. So I always thought that Teddy would. I don't know why, but I always thought he would just come back for a little bit. Just be like, hey, guys, I'm still around. And, I'd marry Jane Fonda or whatever it was. Just have him around.
Andy, I got to ask you, what do you think? First of all, let me ask you this. Do you think that TNA is still going to be in business by the end of the year?
Well, I predicted that they would be. So what's going to happen now?
Yeah.
They won't be, unfortunately. No, in all seriousness, I think they'll still be around, but they're going to do something different. I think they're going to try to do like a Ring of Honor style show where it's localized maybe, or, oh gosh, I can't even think. I mean, there's probably a way that they could do it, but, you know, when most of your money comes in from the TV revenue and you lose that, you take a hit, a big hit.
Okay, so you think they'll be somewhere else, then?
No, I think they'll end up staying on Spike because Spike is just kind of like, all right, we'll have you on, I guess. That's why.
Doug, what are you thinking about that?
I think they'll stay on Spike. I really do think that this is all just negotiation tactics and trying to get them to come to some realization or some kind of something's going on in there. I'm sure they weren't happy when they found out that Vince Russo was still writing for them. But at the same time, it's one guy. They don't care. They want the numbers. They want the stats, and they really don't have anything else to fall back on.
But why do they hate Vince Russo that much that they would actually walk away from the table? And that was one of the reasons.
I think that was blown out of proportion. I think that is the internet wrestling community's hatred for Vince Russo. And don't get me wrong, I don't think Vince Russo is that talented. I think it was really a lot of dumb luck for him, especially in the WWF. But I think that he gets way too much hate. And I think that this was a situation here where the internet wrestling community said, oh, no, it was because of Vince Russo. And Spike probably didn't want him there, but they're not going to throw away a company that gets them lots of money. They're not going to throw the negotiations away just because of Vince Russo.
I'm wondering how much money they actually get, though. Like, I guess because they're going to have to at least go up at least 25%, I believe, just to stay in business. And if it doesn't, I believe that they will have to call it. If they get the same amount of money they're getting now, and then you know that you're going to lose X amount of dollars every year, why have a business, you know, going? And I believe that if they kept Hulk Hogan through the negotiation and said that he signed through X amount of time, even like a month after, you know, we'll say like, let's say his contract expired in November, and they say that we're working on re-signing him. If they just went ahead and said, okay, because you have Hogan, we'll go ahead and look at it. But because they don't have someone like that big, what's the point of them, you know, really staying on the network? But it's a wait and see.
Just because they don't have that marquee person doesn't mean that, you know, they can't stay around. You know, they have a pretty good roster right now. They would have to trim it. They'd have to really start to look at people and go, all right, this person's making too much. They have to take a cut to go, you know, because they can't keep operating at a loss. I agree. However, I think that if they advertise more, I think that's the biggest thing is going to fall back on advertising. If you get the eyeballs there, that's when people are going to start watching your program again. That's when people are going to see the advertising. You know, that's when people are going to start maybe paying more attention to Spike TV, and maybe you'll get more viewers for MMA, and then you'll get more viewers for a lot of your other shows.
Yeah, but Doug, do you actually watch Bellator?
No, not at all. If it wasn't for TNA, like Aaron said, I probably wouldn't watch Spike at all anymore.
So let's hypothetical. Let's say you get Spike TV for 50 cents and you can only 50 cents a month and you can only watch one TV show. Is it worth it, Aaron?
It's a very weird question, but is it worth it for 50 cents a month?
Say 50 cents a month and you can only watch it during that time.
Sure, I would do that. I mean, I would pay probably $2 for, you know, if they said you can only like to watch Impact every month is $2. I'd be like, all right, that's fine.
What if they came out with a network, Doug? Would you purchase it?
If TNA came out with their own network?
Yeah.
It would have to depend on, I mean, if you're talking about $2, yeah, I probably would.
Okay, let's say $4.90.
If you're talking, you know, maybe even $5.
Okay, I was going to say $4.95 a month, and it includes the pay-per-views.
Yeah, I probably would purchase it for $5 a month. You know, it is one of those things where $60 a year, that's not too bad. But we'll see. I mean, I don't think that they have the history, really, to put up what WWE has.
Yeah, that's the big thing. You know, $5 I probably would do, but they'd have to do a pay-per-view every month, though, on top of it, which they're not doing right now, and that would have to be a pretty big thing. But, no, I got to say, I think that TNA is still going to be around. I think that we are, you know, we're going to see them. Whether or not it's on Spike, I think that it will be on Spike, but if it's not, I do think that they have a couple other networks that they could go to. My bet would probably be it'd be a Fox, you know, if they are not on a Viacom network. So I would go with probably a Fox one. I don't think WWE is going to be buying their library anytime soon, but if they do, it's going to be a really sad day for wrestling fans because that's when you know that the wrestling industry is going to be on the decline.
Well, what about the TV Guide channel? Do you think they're going to pick it up?
Yeah, I think that'd be a fantastic place for them to go.
Well, do you know who owns them?
I have no idea.
Viacom. Well, I'm sorry, not Viacom, but CBS, which is pretty much Viacom.
Yeah.
So
Doug, do you have any final thoughts on the whole Spike TV TNA thing or what you think might happen?
I think they'll stay on Spike. Whether it goes on more of a probationary period, is what I kind of see happening. Spike will renew, but it'll be on their terms, and it'll only be for, like, you have to raise your ratings by this much or else we'll cut you.
Interesting.
Yeah, so Aaron, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think, like I said, you know, I think that they're going to stay, and you know, we're going to see what's going to happen, you know, in the next 2 months. I think that a lot more is going to be fleshed out day after day about how the negotiations are going, but I do believe that we will see TNA on Spike.
All right, and if not, then indie wrestling still lives on. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast, and I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Doug Hahn, Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes, and until next time, we'll see you in the ring.